Welcome to worship on this Sunday morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice together and be glad in it. So I'm Pastor Rod Hank, and of course it's my pleasure to worship our God together with you, whether it be here in person or online like you're experiencing right now. So very few announcements this week. Please, we ask that you refer to the letter that the council sent out about the reopening schedule. This next week, you will not have to register for church anymore. You just come and we'll receive you, and everyone is welcome. So if you feel comfortable worshiping and present in the presence of everyone else, please come back as you feel moved. The other major announcement today is it's Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day to all of you out there. You know, and it's a day when we really stop and reflect and think about the people who have guided and led our lives, our mothers, our grandmothers, those significant women who have kept us strong in the faith. So today I'm going to ask if we could start with a word of blessing. Let's have a prayer for all those women. Lord God, we give you thanks for our mothers and our grandmothers and all those who have been a positive influence in our lives. Where we need to stop this day and say thank you for the people that they are and the things that they have done. But also, when things have gone wrong and things have been hard, we ask, Lord, that you help us to forgive them and to move forward and to love them. So thank you for those women who have shaped us and molded us and been there for us every step of the way. We give you thanks, O God, in the name of Christ. Amen. Now let us begin our worship the way that we always do, by taking a moment to share the peace. The peace of the Lord be with you all. Let's take a moment to share that with the people around us. We continue this morning with our confession. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's take a moment for personal silent reflection. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to all of us the entire forgiveness of all of our sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue our worship by singing together, Here I Am to Worship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us join together in praying the prayer of the day. O God, you have prepared for those who love you joys beyond understanding. Pour into our hearts such love for you that, loving you above all things, we may obtain your promises, which exceed all we can desire, through Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue our worship with today's readings.
Today's first reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 10, verses 44 through 48. While Peter shares the good news of Jesus with a Gentile soldier and his family, the Holy Spirit comes upon them. Recognizing that the Spirit works inclusively in the lives of both Jews and Gentiles, Peter commands that these Gentiles also be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. Our responsive psalm is the 98th psalm. Sing a new song to the Lord, who has done marvelous things, whose right hand and holy arm have won the victory. O Lord, you have made known your victory. You have revealed your righteousness in the sight of the nations. You remember your steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Shout with joy to the Lord, all you lands. Lift up your voice, rejoice and sing. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the voice of song. With trumpets and the sound of the horn, shout with joy before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and all those who dwell therein. Let the rivers clap their hands, and let the hills ring out with joy before the Lord, who comes to judge the earth. The Lord will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. The second lesson is from 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. God's children believe that Jesus is the Messiah and love God by keeping God's commandments. Thus the world is conquered not through military might, but through love and faith. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one that testifies, for the Spirit is the truth.
Gospel according to John, the 15th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We continue now with our children's sermon. Good morning, boys and girls. It is so good to be with you today. I have missed you so much, and it's so good to be back. But I'm also thankful that I've had this time to spend with my family as we've welcomed our son Declan into the world. This is my son Declan, and Declan is a month and a half old right now, and he has just been a bundle of joy and a great source of love for us and our family, and we cannot wait for him to meet you and to grow in faith and love in our community of Joy Lutheran Church. So I wanted a couple of things. I wanted to, for him to have a chance to meet all of you and for you to meet Declan. So say hi. Yeah. But also because today our gospel lesson is about love. And specifically, Jesus uses this word abide. Abide in his love, he says. And that's kind of a fancy word for live. Live, dwell. So you would talk, if you talk about your house or the place where you go to sleep at night, that would be called the place where you abide, because it's the place where you stay, you live. And so when Jesus says, abide in my love, can you all say that word? Abide. All right. When Jesus says, abide in my love, he says, live, live in my love, right? So as Christians, as people of faith, Jesus says, you are loved always and forever, no matter what. There's nothing that could ever take that away from you. You are loved by God. So say that with me. I am loved by God. Say it one more time, because it's so good to say it and it's so good to hear it over and over again. I am loved by God. Now, Jesus says, so live into it. Live it. Live in God's love. And how we do that is by showing love to others. So I brought Declan here because sometimes when there's a new person that moves, that is born into this world, it becomes a great reminder that this little person is beloved by God and is loved by so many people. And this love has the power to change the world. Did you know that? You guys are world changers. You change the world one person at a time by showing them love and by reminding them that they are loved. I know, it's okay. You're loved. You're loved. All right, my friends, because you are my friends, let us pray. Good and gracious God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us no matter what. Help us to live and to abide in your love now and forever. Amen. All right, friends. So good to see you. So good to be with you. Thank you for being a community that is going to love and support and encourage Declan to also abide and live in love. Thank you. We'll see you soon, friends. Bye. Brothers and sisters, grace and peace to you from God and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. There's a story about an Irish priest from centuries ago who was traveling from one village into the next. And when he was about to enter through the city gates, he noticed what appeared to be a bundle of burlap and other kinds of cloth all heaped up. He thought that's a little bit strange to have sitting outside the city gates. But upon further inspection, he realized that there was a man underneath all of that burlap and other kinds of cloth. In fact, he wasn't just underneath all of those things. Those were his clothes. That was what he was wearing. And so the priest asked the man, who was clearly of the peasant class, "What are you doing laying out here outside the city gates?" And the man replied that he was praying, as he always did, that every morning he came to the city gates and prayed for its inhabitants. Well, this admittedly caught the priest a little bit off guard. This is an astounding faith, he thought, and he said to the man, "You must be close to God." And the peasant thought for a moment and then smiled and said, "Yeah, I think God's quite fond of me." You know, there might not be a better description of the Christian life in all of Scripture than John 15. I know there will be some pushback on that, but bear with me. That's a pretty good description of what it means to be a Christian and what it means to live as a Christian. And if I had to summarize what this twisting, winding, turning passage might be about, I might actually just use the words the peasant used. I think God's quite fond of me. And I don't think it's really meant in any sense of arrogance to say it that way. Rather, it's out of a deep yet humble sense, an awareness of the love that God has for you and for me and for the world. It is this incredible love for you and for all people that we have known and experienced through Jesus Christ. I think God's quite fond of you, might be how we summarize this text. And we have to remind a little bit in our church calendar, because we are in the season of Easter, but our reading from the gospel today takes place prior to Jesus' death and resurrection. In fact, it comes in the context of a farewell, an emotional goodbye. And oftentimes what happens when these goodbyes occur is there's a recap of sorts, a summary of all that has been experienced and shared and learned together. So when Jesus says goodbye to his disciples, he is reminding them of the central things that they have seen and heard and done together. And ultimately, what he wants them to know and what he wants them to remember and what he wants them to hold on to more than anything is that they have been and always will be loved. He wants them to know and remember and hold on to the promise of this love, and that the love they have received is the same way, the same kind that Jesus has received from God. So if God loves Jesus and Jesus loves you, it makes sense to say that God loves you. He wants them above all else to remember how loved they really are. And he does this by calling them friends, which seems hardly like that big of a deal, especially in our day and age. I mean, we have friends. We sometimes have a lot of friends. We have a lot of friends, and sometimes we even measure how many friends we have through things like social media. And we use that to determine our worth in some sense. That we have a lot of friends on social media. Look how many friends I have. Look how many followers I have. That must mean something. But I think if we took a step back just for a moment, we realize that not only is this not what Jesus is talking about, it also really doesn't mean much. Because I think if we're honest, we'd be willing to say that there's a good number of people who are friends on social media that we're not really all that close to. And we certainly wouldn't go to for help or support in a time of need. The term friend is used so often in our culture that it's become kind of saturated, and it's why we don't initially react in the way that John hopes when Jesus says, "You are my friends." We're missing something. We don't see or understand the depth of what Jesus is actually saying here. And it's because way back in first century Israel and beyond, into Greece and into Rome, and even in the centuries before, friendship was no trivial thing. It was not a small thing to be called a friend. Because genuine friendship, real friendship, true friendship was understood to be the pinnacle of relationship. Not your marriage, not your other relationships, not the people you worked with. No, the pinnacle of relationship in the first century was friendship. A true friend was someone you'd be willing to die for. A true friend was someone you would speak openly to about anything and everything. You were completely honest. Nothing could be held back from a true friend, because true friendship was selfless, honest, real. And this is what Jesus means when he calls the disciples friends. It's not a friend request. Because friendship wasn't some mutually agreed upon thing that I will be your friend if you will be my friend. That wasn't how it worked. The disciples don't have a say in the matter of whether they are friends to Jesus or not, because it's not about what they have done or will do. It's about what Jesus does. Jesus calls them friends because of what Jesus does for them. He embodies true friendship because he dies for them. He speaks openly and honestly to them. And none of it matters what they do. It's all about what Jesus does. They are his friends. Whether they want to be or not, they are his friends. And he does all of this because he loves them. Whether they want to be loved or whether they feel like they're worthy of love, they are. I think about people like Peter and how he must have felt when he denied Jesus, to be reminded that it's not about what he does, it's about what Jesus does. I think about people like Thomas, who wasn't there when Jesus first appeared to the disciples, and he missed out and he just couldn't get there. He couldn't summon up enough faith to believe that Jesus had actually raised from the dead. And I believe, and I wonder about how he must have felt, knowing that in that moment it didn't matter, because it's about what Jesus has done for him. Think about people like Judas. Yes, Judas. And I think about how he must have felt, knowing that in spite of everything, Jesus calls him friend. Jesus calls him loved. Jesus tells them these things towards the end because he knows what's coming. He knows what they're about to experience. He knows that they will be filled with fear. He knows that they will deny him. He knows that they will run away. He knows that they will betray him. He knows what they will do. But none of it matters in that moment when Jesus says to them, "You are my friends. I lay down my life for you. I speak openly and honestly for you because you are loved." And he wants them to hold on to that. He wants them to hold on to that promise that as they go through all of this, their spirits will not break. They will not be left without hope. He wants them to remember that no matter what happens, they are his friends. And he loves them as only a true friend can. And you know, my brothers and sisters, I think that's enough. I think that's enough. That maybe this is what this faith, life of faith is really all about. Knowing that in spite of everything, in spite of who we are, in spite of what we do, in spite of the ways in which we feel our faith is lacking, you are loved. And maybe it's enough to be loved, to be called a friend of Christ. Maybe it's enough to even get you through the most challenging of times. Maybe love is enough to drown out all of the ways the world continuously spews hatred and judgment and misunderstanding. Even though it's hard, maybe it's enough to remember you are loved. And maybe it's enough to get us to take that one step forward, to move into that next day, even when you don't know how, believing against all possibility and hope that you are loved. And that's all that matters. And that's enough for this day. Maybe love is enough to continue pushing us forward, believing in the promise of life that God has for us. Maybe love really is powerful enough. Maybe love really does win. And maybe in this world of complexity and difference and diversity, maybe even though we don't understand another person, or maybe if we don't feel understood, maybe love really is enough. No strings attached, no requirements, nothing except love. Real love. You see, the love that we have from Christ is a transcendent love. It is more than capable of breaking through all boundaries and barriers. It is more than capable of overcoming hate and anger. It is more than capable of bringing life out of hopelessness and death, because it's a love that endures. It's a love without partiality. It's a love that reminds us of who we are. That you are someone Jesus loves. And maybe this love is powerful enough to change us and transform us in spite of our resistance and stubbornness, little by little, so that we are molded and shaped by its power. That we are not the same as we were yesterday because of love. So my friends in Christ, because that is who we are. We are friends and we are in Christ. We are friends of Christ. Today, I would ask that we would be bold in claiming our faithful identity. Because it's true. God is quite fond of you. Which is really putting it far too lightly. Let us proclaim in our words and our deeds that we are someone loved by God in Christ. And then let us hold on to that. And let us trust. And let us believe today and every day, no matter what comes, that that love is more than enough. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Searching for
We continue our time together by proclaiming our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all peoples according to their needs. Lord Jesus, you have taught us that you are love and that we are to love each other. Help us to really believe deep down in our hearts that you've loved us so much that you gave your life for us and gave us a new chance and a new hope and a new life. Help us to believe that right in this moment, no matter how hard or difficult or painful our life is, that we are loved. And that is enough. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And again, Lord, we do give you thanks for those mothers who have been in our lives and those women who have played significant roles to lead us and guide us and to help us in our faith journeys. We ask that you uphold our mothers this day, that you bless them, that you ever draw them closer to you and to your will and your way, and help us to express our love as best we can. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We also pray today, Lord, for those people who need your healing touch. Especially we pray for the whole country of India. We pray for all those people who are sick or suffering, those hospitals that don't have the supplies that they need. We pray for the supplies that we as a country are providing and other agencies around this world. We ask that you bless these people, that you stop this pandemic from taking more lives in that place. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We also pray for the sick and the suffering who are here, who are near us in our country or around us. We pray in particular for John, the uncle of Jeff Rux. We ask that you guide doctors and nurses and help them to find the best treatment for John's problem this day. We also pray for the family of Bob Munchen, the brother-in-law of Jeremy Bjork, who passed away unexpectedly this week. We ask that you be with the rest of the family, with Sherry and Luke and Christy and Jace, Ashley and Katie. We also pray for the Bjorks. We ask that you bless them and surround them with the hope of your resurrection. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And finally today, Lord Jesus, we pray for our church. This has been a hard year on everyone. It's almost time for us to rejoin each other and to be your people in this place in the way that we're accustomed to. So, Lord, we ask that you give people confidence, that you help draw them back to your church and your place, that this is holy ground and it's been blessed by you so many times in so many ways. Please, Lord, please let the people come back and help us all to understand how much you love us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, who's our Lord and Savior. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, we're going to continue now with the offering. And, we're getting to that point here at the church where we really do need to think about what we are giving to the mission of this place. So I really ask that you put that on your heart today and think about what joy means to you. Our offering. We continue with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary. It's our duty and our joy that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, Almighty God, for the glorious resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because he was the true Paschal Lamb who gave his life so that we might have eternal life. And in his death, he defeated death. And in his new life, he opened up the way of eternal life to us. And so with Mary Magdalene, with Peter, with the witnesses of the resurrection, with the whole church around the world, with the angels of heaven and the archangels and the cherubim and the seraphim, we praise your name. and we join together in an unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it. He gave it to his disciples saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." And then again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all."